This is Don DeBrass Stocks. Good morning.
Good morning, Miss Hick.
Good morning.
How are you this morning?
I am very good, and you?
I'm pretty good odds too.
Good.
Now, I want to have a discussion because there's a question, which is a very profound question. How did we get here? Again, stating the economic situation in the country. Now, I didn't hear the opening of your program
We were
the day
talking
I
about
wanted.
kidneys, but before you move on, I just want to correct. Barbados has recorded, this is July 20th, 2017, successful living donor kidney transplant operation at the Queen Elizabeth Hospital. So it is something that is happening, but it's something that needs to be developed even more. So I just wanted to make sure I put that information out there because before I said, wasn't sure if they started the process with these surgeries, but they have. And they've started, but of course, they need more support, more financial support in order to make sure that these surgeries are more successful. Continue, sir.
I want this question that was asked by Sir Lloyd to be of paramount and profound throughout this island. How did we get here? And we as electorate and nationals should start asking ourselves these questions and look at the policy makers and find out how we get here. I heard you say just now, I believe you are asking that people should contribute towards the hospital. Am I right or wrong? Because I didn't hear the opening remarks.
Yeah, I actually did say yes. I'm pretty much sure that the hospital right now is in, actually 100% sure with the information I had yesterday. Hospital needs some more help, a lot more
No,
support than what it's getting.
I say that to say this. I don't know how much more the taxpayers could pay, but if I'm certain there is a heavy levy that is taken
I
from.
am glad you brought that up. I'm very happy you brought that up because I wanted to mention something about the taxes right now, where the sewage and the garbage and the mere fact that QEH now needs some help. Now, if we look at it, it's 1 year and a couple of days that the sewage and garbage contribution was implemented. 1 year. I don't have any knowledge. I've asked, I've researched, I haven't seen anything to say how much money has been collected for sewage, how much for garbage. If anyone has that information, accurate information, it will be good to share it here on Brass Tacks. Now, I say that to go back now to the QEH. If we can look at that tax, even if we keep the garbage portion of it, and let those who are on the sewage system continue to pay like they used to. And then the money, which is the, what is $1.50 a day, as opposed to giving the 25 cents to the sewage, I was thinking to maybe just put it to the hospital because no one can argue that they will never use QEH. Because even if you go private and you pass away here at home, you still gotta go to the QEH anymore. You still gotta be a visitor somewhat at some point in time. Even if it's just to go and say hi to somebody, everybody needs the hospital. So I am agreeing with you where we can't afford more taxes, but do we really need to collect all of this sewage tax? No. For example, do we need the 50% to the commercial entities for garbage and water? I mean, sorry, garbage and sewage, my apologies. Can the entities that actually collect their own garbage privately now be sort of weaned off somewhat of that contribution, and can we not look at revamping it? So, and the only way we can do that is by knowing how much we've collected, because we know we need it for trucks, we know we need it to repair the sewage or to upgrade the plant. Where are we now? Can we do something different with the money, and can we pull back some of the tax pertaining to the water and sewage and make sure that the hospital is a little bit more stabilized than it is at the present moment.
This falls on the health.
No.
That falls on the health.
Yes. Well,
And
yes.
I would like, let me finish a minute. I would like to see a lot of these taxes removed from the consolidated fund so that we, the public, would know how much money is collected towards health pertaining to the environment, sanitation, all of these
parts. I don't, the garbage and sewage levy is not put into the consolidated, no, but the garbage and sewage levy, to the best of my knowledge, again, subject to correction, does not go into the consolidated fund. Money goes towards the sanitation department, and some goes toward would go to the Barbados Water Authority in an effort to help with the sewage.
As it stands now, we should have an account of the money that we collected.
I agree.
So that we would know what has been left over. Mm-hmm. Pertaining to the sewage, since it is not utilizing that amount of money. Mm-hmm. And this country, as I said, the question remains, how did we get here? Now, let me go on to... I can be short so other people
yes.
can come in.
Okay.
Now, let me go on to what I heard you said about Ross University. Mm-hmm. I am in agreement with you that we benefit from Ross University. Mm-hmm. But you see, we were talking about waste just now. What was considered at one time as wastage has become now the main
gold
cornerstone of the building of the economy. Mm-hmm. Now, had not for those houses in Coverley, and had not for the Sherburn Center that was considered as a waste, and Coverley as a waste, where would we be today? Could you answer that?
Well, I think you'd have to ask the owner of Coverley, where would he be today? Sherburn, only this morning, I saw a beautiful sign, I thought it was on the wall, saying Ross University. Hence the reason I mentioned it this morning. You know, the point is we're here. We're here.
And the point is that you don't always kick down the stone. Always see what you could do with it instead of kicking it down. It is good that the houses at Coverley could within a twinkle of an eye, turn to be the homes of the students. Mm-hmm. And within a twinkle of an eye, the very Sherburn mm-hmm. became an important factor mm-hmm. of the economy. And with a twinkle of an eye, the same gentleman that was heavily criticized became the person to carry Ross University. Good. So that is what I conclude.
Thank you
now,
so much.
Now, the other one, and I can finish on this here.
Okay.
Now, I am a bit confused. And when we hear politicians come out and speak, I heard two different pieces of news this morning pertaining to the Minister of Finance. And he was talking about why they had to write off these taxes that government owed the private sector tax refund. And then one part of the news, the 7:30 news, said between 2:01 and 2:04 that the government did not pay back these people, these business people. Then he concluded in the 8:30 news that the last administration did not pay. I want these things to be played out that the average public could understand. It is time that we stop allowing politicians to come with things and wave them in the air like a magic wand and get away with it. I am going to continue to question if between 2:01 and 2:04.
You tell me you're going to be short. We do have to take a break.
Yeah, I can finish here. Between 2:01 and 2:04, there's a problem with not paying back the taxes. Why were you gone so far back in the 90s? Mm-hmm. Then to write off that. That is the question I left there. And I'll be back on this again.
Of course. Thank you so much. We'll be right back.
Good morning to you.
Good morning. Good morning.
How are you doing?
I'm very well. And you?
I'm doing wonderful.
Good.
I must, from the outset, commend you for your interest and concern in the poor, because I believe that the challenge we're having with the poor is that they're most of the times often unrepresented. And any person who championed the cause of the poor, some person who wins and steals my thunder. The two things I want to say quickly before I go to what I really call the program to discuss with you. Mm-hmm. And that is, the last caller spoke about the writing off of taxes. I think David Ellis cleared the air on that, and he did it profoundly when he spoke about the interest and penalties, and not when he played an excerpt from the senators that spoke in the upper house in relation to that. And I'm surprised that the Democrat Party members will come sometimes because the Reading Press that they were also concerned. But if you look at page 46 of the Auditor Report, I think of 2016, it declared that there was a finance a company in this country, I'm not going to call the name, if you go to the report you will see it, that was generating millions of dollars annually and hadn't paid taxes for 10 years in the Auditor Report. Right? Mm-hmm. The Motley administration wasn't in office then. So, I mean, we got to be careful. The whole issue with Coverley, you will recall, ma'am, that the issue with the leader of the opposition as it relates to Coverley was the fact that 106 acres of Crown lands was vested to, I can't remember the name of the name of the company, mm-hmm. ran by the same Mark Milan. She was not interested in the houses that were there. She was interested in the fact, or she made the point rather, that the 106 acres should not be vested in a single individual. That was her concern. The other issue with Sherburn Conference Center was that at a time when people Leroy Trotman had individuals marching up and down this country, and that the country was seeing one of its worst times in Earth's history, that the Sherburn Conference Center was throwing a lot of money behind Sherburn Conference Center, and hence was the reason why that it was criticized by the then Barbados Labour Party. So let me be fair in our judgment and our comments when it comes to speaking to these things. The third thing I will speak, you know, ma'am. Mm-hmm. I believe that I will ruffle some feathers, but it matters me not, because that I believe in the interests of poor people. I am calling this morning on the Attorney General of Barbados to come forward and tell Barbadians what is the success record to date as it relates to the backlog, this vexing backlog cases in the Supreme Court of this country, in the law court. Because, ma'am, mm-hmm. I am frustrated. I am someone who had a matter before the court since 2012. Had three adjournments and can't seem to. The last adjournment was in 2017 and cannot seem to get back into the courts at all. I hear all the jargon about new judges coming to the bench, all types of things. I want somebody to come forward this morning and tell Barbados where we are at as it relates to this. This is nonsense, and it cannot. It is unacceptable, ma'am, in the second half of the 21st century that we can have cases. Be struggling and all you hear about systems put in place to reduce this backlog, ma'am, and nothing is happening. It is frustrating. And you spend a whole day and 2 days wanting to, when you get to the area with the marshals who call in the names or the prosecution, your matter has been adjourned. We will call you and give you a date. This foolishness can't continue in Barbados, ma'am.
Wow.
Because all the talk about investment in this country, and we don't get this one right, the very investors that we are seeking to bring here will not be interested if we don't get this one right. Because they're not going to come here prepared to be wrapped up in a lot of red tape as it relates to getting to a court system. So somebody needs to come and tell us where we are at as it relates to the newly appointed judges and as it relates to the persons who were assigned to deal with the backlog. Tell me where we are, because I don't want to offer an opinion, because my opinion is that I don't feel like we're going to be at all. All I feel is that we're getting talk. So I don't want to voice my opinion for the people in this country, but I want somebody to tell me this morning, what is the Motley-led administration's stance as it relates to the backlog of cases in this country? What are you doing? How far have you gotten? What progress? Give me a progress record. Tell me what you're doing. I don't want to talk. Tell me what you're doing and bring forward the evidence to convince me and other members of the public who are suffering as a result of trying to get the matters heard and before the courts. Come and tell me what you're doing.
Well, I want to add to that, because I was just here searching for the Bail Act. This is something that was on my mind. Now, you mentioned judges and so on and so forth in terms of people getting bail. I know that you can't make any amendments retroactive. Obviously, it's moving forward. But it's cause for great concern when you see individuals out free of charge for committing crimes, found guilty for committing crimes and on a technicality they're free to go. And there was a case in the paper a couple of days ago where a person was freed after being found guilty for taking the lives of a mother and her two children in 2005, March. And I'm still a little shocked as to how this happens. And unfortunately, what I read was the case was more or less thrown out because the perpetrator, because I can say perpetrator because the person was found guilty at the time, had not signed a statement. And I guess this is what more or less freedom based on the reports coming out of the newspaper. But
I'm speaking of.
So I'm just saying that we are now seeing people talking about firearms and stuff. And now you're realizing that people are not using guns and using knives now. Or they're using anything else as a weapon, if you understand what I mean.
Precisely. But this is the challenge I'm having, ma'am. Mm-hmm. You see, because there's a domino effect. When you have, when you don't have a proper maintenance program in place, and then you have to be fixing police stations after police stations, where records and documents have to be moved from one location to the next. You don't believe, ma'am, that at some point in time, if the case hold up for 10 years and 12 years, that somebody won't be able to find that same document? I mean, we're going to get serious.
Well, it's cases like that we really do need to get serious with, because we don't want people to be on the road free based on a technicality or something wasn't signed or so on and so forth, because then we Barbadians then, you know, we would then have to live in fear over and over again. When you think that somebody's behind bars and you're feeling, okay, well, at least he's away from society and we feel safe that you're taking this person or that person, you know, away from us. Then to hear that the person is free based on a technicality, it doesn't sit well with me, truthfully. It's a little scary.
I hope that someone can get the Attorney General to come to the program either this morning or sometime in the near future.
We'll see what happens. We'll see what happens. You never know.
As it relates to this backlog of cases in this country. Oh. And what the progress record thus far that he has achieved in order to fix this vaccine backlog situation in this country. It cannot allow to continue. Cannot.
Okay.
Somebody got to fix it.
Okay. Thank you so much. We'll be right back. Okay, we're going to continue because I thought we were taking a break. I missed Red John's hand signal. This is Down to Brass Tacks. Good morning.
Greetings.
Greetings. Good morning.
And greetings to one and all. On Sunday program, Brass Tacks, you was on it, right, madam?
No, I wasn't.
I think it was talking about disability, right?
Yeah, I listened a little bit. I didn't get to listen to the whole, yes.
Right. What I learned there is something I always pondered for a very long time. What symptoms do we look for in children that who are autistic? And the gentleman there gave a very good defined symptoms we to look for. And I was very thankful for that, you know, mm-hmm. because I never knew what to look for, how to identify a child that is autistic. Mm-hmm. And he said something that was very important. And he said, you know, sometimes you might speak to them and they might ignore you. And he says something, the police might say, might have to stop a person, and it might seem like an insult. You know, they ignore you, not knowing that they're autistic. So mm-hmm. I said to myself, I'm very glad because he called that call, just made that the question. I wanted to call and ask their question. So when he called it, I had to call them more. And I was very thankful.
That you're able to. Well, you know, people need more education so that when they see children acting up, they don't just jump and say, well, you know, why you don't give the child a hard slap or that the child hard dares and stuff like that. You know, gone are the days. You just can't just look at people and the children and then assume that they're just bad behave. You know, some children are actually hearing impaired. And, you know, back in the days, they would say you hard ears, and realistically, they couldn't hear you, you know. Right. And these are things that we could have to do with early testing and knowing what the signs are, what to look for. And I think there are enough persons with autism now right across the globe that some money needs to be spent out on, you know, finding out early so that you can get some early intervention in terms of what you need to do to stimulate the child, to get to know the child, how you can reach that child better. You know, there are people who do it. I know one couple who said that the child never spoke until they sang to the child. And they were singing and singing, and they forgot a line in one of the songs, and the child just completed the verse. And that was the first time that this child was vocal in a couple of years. So I'm glad that you listened to the program. I hope so many people, I hope a lot more people listened to that program on Sunday. It was a good one. I didn't get the chance to listen to all of it, but of course you can also type in Down to Brass Tacks and listen to the podcast with the different dates if you missed it.
Just one more before you go, Ms. Hick.
Yes, sir.
I just want to thank Vinny from Lehigh, you know, because she made a request to CBC TV about a problem that we had. And to my knowledge, it has been fixed.
Okay.
So I would like to publicly thank Vinny for the bottom of my heart. I will thank CBC tomorrow.
Okay.
But I'm going to give Vinny credit.
No problem. Thank you for calling. This is Down to Brass Tacks. Good morning.
Good morning, Ms. Hick.
Good morning.
How are you?
I'm very good. And you?
Pretty well. Hope you had an enjoyable cup over.
Very quiet, relaxing from my bed and with a pizza and everything else that you shouldn't be eating. So,
all right.
But it was good. I enjoyed it. I enjoyed watching. I enjoyed seeing Rihanna, you know, and the crowd when they showed us that little clip. It was pretty good. Really good.
Well, I have a comment about that, but they call you, you will not have the answers, Ms. Hick, but I believe there are people above your mic itself who will have the answers to the questions I'm going to ask.
Okay.
We noticed that there has been an influx, not an influx, there's a constant transfer of what you could consider to be negative things on the social pages. Even coming out of Warcrop over, I thought I read sometime that there'd be a law which would prevent that, and also that the providers can take action against the sender. I wonder what has happened to that. I read it, where if you send something negative from your and it's proof that you send it, then there could be action that would be taken.
The Computer Misuse Act.
Huh?
You'd call it the Computer Misuse Act.
Yeah, I'm wondering, because a lot of people have taken privilege to do well this time around again, pick up some of the most negative things to send out on the social page. Think they're only sending it to the Barbadian faces, but they send it all across the world. And I wonder, you know, when we're going to understand we're not only exposing people to things that they shouldn't be exposed to, but we're exposing the country to all types of belief from the foreign. I'm just asking that whoever is responsible could come and tell the nation if the act is in place or if it's not in place.
I believe the act is in place. It's up to the person on the receiving end who's offended to make a report.
All right. Well, I hope some results will come of that. But it needs to be put over there again so people understand that before they click that send button, that it sends a situation of question. What is likely to come out of it?
There's a saying I have: pause before you post. Sometimes it's going. You should.
That's right.
Yes.
Yeah. The other one concerns really and truly is very important. There has been a lot of talk, Ms. Hick, about Emancipation Day. And also what we call the wealth. The historians have told us, those who have read over the years and those who live it, that the wealth was the 26th of July, 1937. Now, they've also told us that 1834, around there, was the Emancipation Bill, the year. They have not said the date, the month, or anything, but they're celebrating emancipation. For the benefit of those people who are confused between what they consider to be the 26th of July and this concept of emancipation that overrides the 26th of July, which has a right to, but the true history, in my opinion, have not been explained, because they don't even recognize where extremely important in Bridgetown, where the act was signed, and the benefit of Samuel Prescott, the first colored person. So I'm saying I want to know, and other people have been asking me, I don't know. Those who are historians could tell us what day or what date that the Emancipation Bill was signed, so that we can celebrate that event as well. And we could refused to accept the clash between the 26th of July, which we are conflicting with the Emancipation Day. That's two questions. I believe the historians have the answers to that, and they could answer for the benefit of all of us who would want to know. Mm-hmm. Thirdly, as far as Kropov is concerned, and as far as the Mighty Grinder Highway is concerned, I am one of these people who Joanne M. Abedin to heart. And Abedin to heart that I do not believe that people are different from anybody. I think all of us are equal. We may have got a different color, we may live a different life, but we're all one and we're going to the same place. Now, I am very proud of the decision that was made as far as Mr. Grinder is concerned, Mighty Grinder Highway. But I was kind of disappointed over a statement I asked, and I got an answer which is still unsettled. But I have seen from my own two eyes the condition that they have left that statue or that monument, whatever it may be, on Spring Garden just outside of the club there. Mm-hmm. And I believe we don't have to wait till it is vandalized. We should not wait till it is vandalized to say if we have known, when there's simple little things that can be done to it. Take, for example, I frequent that area a lot. Behind the very monument, there is a bad movement for visitors to this island to get into the restaurant below because there's a water settlement that is not convinced to cross. You feel you're stepping it, and a lot of people don't go there. So I'm saying that since that area is manned daily mm-hmm. by the NCC, and there's someone at the bath as far as the NCC is concerned, I believe between the NCC and the community development, that they could look at preparing a better position as far as the monument, as far as the statue is concerned. That is to say that you can build something around it, which will prevent people from doing what they've done mm-hmm. on it. You understand? Mm-hmm. And then everybody cannot climb up on the statue of Zimbabwe. You cannot climb up on Lord Nelson. You cannot climb up on Errol Barrow's statue. You cannot climb up, as far as I'm concerned, on the one-armed man in Bridgetown. So I believe that, that monument should be treated with respect that 15, 20 years from today, we can say it was not vandalized. We can say that it has been kept well. And I think a suggestion I can make is that you could green that area. Okay. You could green that area so as to prevent people from getting onto it. Keep people at least about 6 feet off. They can take the pictures. They can pose on it the same way, pose in front of it the same way. But to leave it as it is, we are going to see it being vandalized. And then we're going to say, we heard somebody talk about that already and nothing was done. I believe it wouldn't cost no big side of money. I'm also saying the NCF could chip in.
I agree. I agree that they need to protect it. But we do have a full board, Mark, and we do have to take a break right now. So thank you again, as always, for calling and making your contribution. This is Delta Brastat. Welcome back. Another few WhatsApps. Good morning, Joanne. I am a PD nurse from Barbados, now living abroad. Yes, we do have provisions for living kidney donors. However, Barbados does not have the legislation in place to donate cadaver kidneys or organs. Yes, I was actually made to understand that yesterday by a person who would know that we do have to change the legislation, which I believe should not take long. I mean, I'm sure like a few weeks if you need to do that. And then, of course, then do some communications then to the public as to how we're going to identify you as a donor. So I believe that they're putting some measures in place, government, to get that done. And I think it's pretty exciting that we're going to do this because a lot of people are going to buy into it. Even the Jehovah's Witnesses, and good morning to all of my Jehovah's Witnesses friends. I'm not a Jehovah's Witness, but I have a lot of friends in in that particular category of religion, but they have no problem with the transplants, and I think that might have been some, the government probably was a little bit concerned about what kind of pushback they may get, and I don't only mean this government, I believe the previous administration too might have made an attempt to get it done, but I think that there's going to be a lot of buy-in into organ donation, and particularly kidney transplants right here on this island, and I certainly encourage all Barbadians to get on board when that happens. This is Down to Brass Tacks. You're on the air.
Good morning.
Good morning.
And how are you today?
I am very well, and you?
I'm very good also.
Good.
I missed Tuesday. Could not get in. I was on for quite a while, but because of the numbers, I believe I was left out. But first, I would like really to congratulate all those who were involved with this crop over this year, for the manner, you know, which it came off, the success, and I believe above all was that we had no real incidents of fights and death, etc. So let me congratulate all those who were involved. I heard some comments, and the one that really jumped out at me was some of the persons who called it, really say that Mrs. Reefer was out of place to jump with the blue box cart and this and the next. As a human, I thought, you know, and I think that she has her, the authority, everything vested in her to do whatever pleased her. And if she wanted, as a human, to jump with blue box cart, who can tell her which band to jump with? She has always been in the crop over festivities from the time I knew her, quite a young person. She's always been there. And I think because she's now the chief executive officer of NCF, that would take away or make her in such a position that she would have to stay until it's completed and then go down, escorted by the police, whatever, and take her rightful place down there as they think she should. Nonsense. But I want to... My real thing today is I attended a funeral yesterday at St. Mary's Church. And if one can say that you left a funeral service satisfied with almost everything that transpired, despite the fact that you were grieving over the death of the deceased, there are a few points I would like to highlight. One, and this was the funeral for the late Henry MacDonald Arthur. Mm-hmm. He was a supporter, you'll have to put that in all type of inverted commas, of the Barbados Labour Party. And he hailed it from Chapman Lane. And what really was so impressive was that when I looked around, I saw three persons who came out of, three or four, who came out of Chapman Lane. The person who eulogized him, and that would be the Lieutenant Colonel, Geoffrey Wostick. And then we had the Minister of Home Affairs, Jerome Walcott. The priest who also delivered the sermon, they were all from Chapman Lane. And the persons who attended from Chapman Lane, it took me back to my boyhood days. It was an area I frequented fairly often, and I was really impressed with the turnout, the amount of people who came out to pay their final respects to Henry. And when everything got on its way, and the excuse was made by the representative for the city, Mr. Bostick, I think we'll put all the other things before his name, he said that the Prime Minister, she had to meet with the African representative from, I think it was from Ghana, who was here, and he was supposed to be in at 2:30, and that was the same time the service commenced. Mm-hmm. And he asked, he put the excuse for her, and everything went on. And lo and behold, minutes before the final rights were made or given, Prime Minister Motley turned up. And, I don't know how she got there, she and Minister Walcott, so quickly. But they were there, and she asked for a break to, say a few words on his passing. And the manner in which they spoke about Mr. Arthur's, this is Henry Arthur's, contribution to the Barbados Labour Party's progress over the years, and what they said, that he would have died a happy man, because he said that if there were two things he wanted to see before he died, one would have been that the Barbados Labour Party would regain the government, and secondly, or I think that this would have been paramount, that Mayor Motley would have become the Prime Minister of Barbados. The service was solemn. The persons who came out were very well behaved, and I believe that it left in our minds, you know, it's been etched there, the manner in which the service was conducted, those persons who hailed from Chapman Lane, and how they spoke so highly of their upbringing in that area, and to put the icing on the cake, the final words which were given, despite the fact that she was not there at the commencement, by Prime Minister Mia Amoa Motley, about this guy, Henry Arthur, who she said, and also Colonel Bostick, that he was one of the most, one who supported the party to the max, and he made sure, even when the Barbados Labour Party lost in the city, that the persons in a particular box in that Chapman Lane area would have always won, and that has been, let us say, a record over the years. So in closing, I personally have known Henry for quite a few years, I think throughout my lifetime, and the persons he had adopted, the Station Hill area also, I think, his spouse lived over there, and he was well represented from persons from the Station Hill area. Okay. So I really admired the manner in which they conducted themselves and how the Barbados Labour Party held him in high esteem.
Thank you so much, sir. Thank you so much for your comments.